The Good News of God's Love According to Luke. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." His disciples asked him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the eagles will gather." Then Jesus told the disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my accuser.' For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So this parable is not just about the need to pray always and not lose heart. As the verses I just added make clear, and as the closing verse reiterates, this parable is about how we are to behave while we wait for the Son of Man to come, and while we wait for the kingdom of God to be fully realized in our broken and wounded world. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Lots of people think he's going there to bring down the wrath of God upon the oppression of the Roman Empire. When they imagine the kingdom of God coming, they imagine God imposing it on the world from the outside. Jesus says, no, the kingdom of God is not imposed. It springs up organically from seeds that God has already planted in the world. Everything that we need for the realization of God's kingdom is already within us and around us. The seeds that Jesus was able to plant in his short 3-year ministry on earth, in his teaching, in his personal example, in his willingness to bring healing and wholeness to wounded people and broken relationships, very soon, very quickly, those seeds will be fertilized and begin to sprout when he arrives in Jerusalem to suffer and to die. His body hanging from a cross is the corpse around which the kingdom of God will beginning to grow. But the process of growth will always be frustratingly slow because God's kingdom grows one life at a time. God wants divine justice to be our lived reality. God wants it to happen now. God will not impose it upon us. And so we need to wait. Like a defenseless widow at the mercy of an unjust judge, but our waiting needs to be extremely active. We are to be persistent, not only in prayer, but in the example of our lives. Prayer isn't just a list of demands that we make. Prayer is the food that nurtures our relationship with the God who loves us and who helps us to live in the world as God's children. When Jesus talks of God's chosen ones who cry out day and night, he isn't describing a bunch of isolated individuals. He's talking about a community of faith that has gathered in his name, a community that persists in praying and in living according to the values of God's kingdom. When Jesus returns, he hopes to find us living by a persistent faith in how things could and should be, a faith that demands justice in a world where justice only goes to those who can afford to pay for it, a faith that proclaims abundant life in a world that revels in death and destruction. We are to be persistent because God is persistent. God sticks with us in good times and bad. God sticks with us even when we turn our backs on God. Psalm 121 praises a God who, while watching over us, never slumbers nor sleeps. God travels beside us on life's journey to shield us from anything that wants to destroy us. God has made a commitment to watch over us from this time forth and forevermore. Now, if you know the story of Jacob that is presented in the book of Genesis, you know that he did nothing to earn or deserve the guidance and the protection that he received from God. Literally, from birth, he tried to take things from other people. In his effort to be born first, he came out of his mother's womb clutching onto the heel of his twin brother. His very name describes him as someone who clutches and who takes for himself, a literal heel. Later, he lives up to his name by taking advantage of the foolishness of his brother and the vulnerability of his elderly father. And once he has betrayed so many people in his own family that he is forced to run away to a foreign country, his brother vows to track him down and kill him. Years later, when he is returning home with wives and children and with a lot of personal wealth, he hears that his estranged brother is coming to meet him, not alone, with 400 armed men. Assuming the worst, Jacob separates himself from his wives and children in the hope of keeping them safe, and as he waits for his brother, Jacob wrestles. He wrestles with his past. He wrestles with his sense of self. He wrestles with a mysterious man who might be God and might be an angel, or if you prefer metaphor, might be himself. Jacob's old self wrestles with a new self, and Jacob emerges from his wrestling with the blessing of a new identity. The name Israel means the one who wrestles with God. He is the father of a nation and of a religion that will go on wrestling with God for centuries to come, and we are now a part of that community of faith. Jacob isn't blessed because he deserves it. He's blessed for no reason other than because God loves him. And the same is true for each one of us. We are called to wrestle with God, to wrestle with our faith, to wrestle with the words of the Bible. As the second letter to Timothy teaches, Scripture is a gift from God given not for its own sake, but to guide us to salvation through faith in Jesus. The Bible brings us to our Savior, and every word of the Bible has the power to transform us into his followers. The Bible brings us to Jesus, who demonstrates to us God's undeserved and unconditional love, and we are to be persistent in proclaiming and in demonstrating that love to every person and in every situation that we encounter. Living in a time when people will not put up with sound teaching, and when they reject the self-giving ways of God, we must persist in loving and serving our neighbor, in providing a voice for the voiceless, and in demanding fairness for the lowest and the least of our brothers and sisters, because it is our persistence that will bend our world toward the beauty of justice, of peace, and of the kingdom for which we wait.